Back in the bottom line, News Radio 610 KONA. Rob Francis, Greg Neff with you Friday afternoon. You know, we always enjoy bringing guests onto the program to provide different aspects, different points of view, different information to you, our listeners. We always enjoy it, though. It's an extra special treat when we get to talk to one of our local lawmakers, be it at the city, county, state level, federal level as well. Many times we've had the opportunity. Joining us right now, State Senator for the 16th Legislative District, Senator Perry Dozier. Senator, thank you for the time. We always appreciate you joining us.
Fantastic. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys before I head to Olympia, but I'm still wondering how in the world I'm going to get there, because right now, between the path being closed and it's flooding on I-5 south of Olympia, I'm going, well, I may be here a little bit longer. I don't know.
You know, Senator, it's fascinating that and you tell me, maybe it's just me, but you've got four passes that have been announced already. They're going to be closed through the weekend. We're not expecting more snowstorms, from my understanding. In fact, they're expecting melting, as I know Snoqualmie temperatures are going to be in the 40s, right, floating around there, getting Sunday into Monday into Tuesday. Why would the four passes be closed, possibly? Could you give me an opinion why you think maybe they're closed?
Well, I would say, first of all, I heard there is record snowfall, 236 inches on Snoqualmie Pass as of a couple of days ago so far this season. However, I think we have a staffing shortage, and it could be possibly from the governor's vaccination mandate that we don't have as many people working for Wausau like what we did before, because I have not seen this pass closed that many times this early in the season. And I'll tell you, I was over there last week, Rob, and they did a great job keeping it clear, and I made it there. But when I went to come home, I had to go through Portland coming back.
Wow, that's a long ways around.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer. It sure is. But that was the only way I could get home.
Interesting. Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th joining us. So, Senator, we know session's coming up. We've had a lot of talk about it over the course of the last couple of days. A couple of things that we know that are going to come through, and we've heard varying opinions as to when they're going to get out of committee and get to the floor, but there are things that certainly the body as a whole want to get done, if not the majority party in general. We know that the Long-Term CARES Act is going to be addressed. Do you think that this delay bill, and we know Republicans are going to vote in favor of it because it's going to put the tax off, but how quickly do you think this delay to collecting the taxes is going to get through committee and on the floor? And do you think this is the first bill you vote on?
You know, I think it was real interesting, Rob, when this came up, because obviously, as you know, this bill was passed in 2019, and throughout the course of this past year, we as a Republican legislature have brought up many of the inadequacies in the bill and the problems that we're going to have, and it kept getting pushed forward or to the side, and that we were going to do it. It's interesting that 2 weeks before legislative session starts here, that the leaders of both the Democrat leaders of the House and the Senate decide that to tell the governor, you know, we got problems with this and we got to fix it. I tend to look at it as, did they just finally figure that out? Or is it because this bill is so unpopular and is going to cause so many problems, especially if you're in a border county like Benton County or Whitman County, Walla Walla County, where you have people that come from Oregon or Idaho that work in your state and are going to pay this? We knew this all along. And is it because we have a pretty important election in 22? That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, there's no question, and I think the heat, and we both say the heat that's been brought down. The backlash has been significant. And calculate the amount of revenue that's not going to be there as well, with about 25% of that projected revenue already opted out. The money to fund isn't going to be there. So there's a lot of math that needs to be done that they need a pause before they can do, so that people aren't angry that they're not going to get their money back after it gets collected and it gets botched. What changes do you think need to come before there's an actual look at repeal? Do you think that's ever going to be possible, or do you think this thing is just doomed to be duct taped and Frankensteined in some shape or way or form, just so there could be some type of long-term health care bill and Democrats can puff their chest out?
Well, I think one of the big things that we look at, obviously, is you need to have the option to opt in or opt out. And what basically, so if you want to go let the state take a portion of your paycheck out, and you think that that's going to supply you with what you need for a long-term care policy, then you could say, yes, I want that to happen. Or if you want to go buy your own policy, but maybe you don't want to buy it if you're a 25-year-old person that just got employed and you're not really sure if you're going to remain in the state for how long with your job, or where you're going to be going with your salary with your job. We're starting at a 0.58, but who knows where it's going to go? They may see that it's not going to be solvent, which is what I heard, so that they may raise that. But with the benefit of only $36,500, heavens, I was just talking to one of my constituents this afternoon who said they had to put their parent in a care facility, and it was $8,000 a month. Well, I guess what are we going to get? 2, 3, 4 months out of that? It's just, there's so many problems and with it. And so you need to have that. We need to have a choice, opt in or opt out.
But, Senator, the other big problem here, too, is the fact that all this goes into the general fund. It's not like the gas tax that goes into an earmarked account so that it can be tracked and it can be accounted for and you know what's going in and what's there to come out. This is going into the general fund. So you, me, Greg, anybody else that has money taken out of their paycheck to go into this, they're going to have no idea what's there in order to be able to properly allocate it.
Right. Right. And I think that's one of the things, everything, it needs to be dedicated for that account. And you're absolutely right on that, Rob. Like I said, there are so many problems with it that never got addressed here when we were coming close to doing it. Can we get it done in a short session? Boy, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of issues. Can we? Yeah, it's going to be a main focus, probably.
We're talking with Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line.
Senator Greg Neft here. Jumping off that point, if the legislature is successful in delaying the tax collection until July, I guess it is 2023, are you worried, is your conference worried that actually knocks the wind out of the sails of any momentum that you might have to try and reform this or repeal it? If they kick it off so far away, and that's a pretty long time, in people's memories, they're kind of short. Do you worry that that'll shut down any effort to even make minor or modest changes?
I hope not. I mean, I don't think it will, because, again, as I said, there are so many issues with it, even delaying it. Again, repeal would be the best at this point. If not, there are so many moving parts of it that need to be changed. Pushing it that far, yeah, you're right. I mean, people forget about it, and then all of a sudden it comes back again. I think that's kind of what happened with it. I had no idea about this bill until it just came up, and this was passed in 19. And this last year, then once it starts coming close to when they're going to implement it, then it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, so since I was new, so I didn't know about the bill.
Senator Dozier, we talked about the long-term cares. The other thing, of course, is redistricting, and that's something that falls to the House and the Senate to put the bow on after the Supreme Court has said that they are not going to hear challenges based on voter rights or anything else, or any of the lawsuits coming about the Open Public Meetings Act. They're done, according to what they put out a little bit earlier. They didn't see any reason to go down and take those lawsuits about Open Public Meetings Act. So now it'll go to the House and to the Senate. We know supermajorities are needed to make any real changes. How quickly do you expect the maps to make it through both chambers and hit the floor for votes to be ratified, certainly in plenty of time for those running for re-election this November?
You know, I would think at this point right now, Rob, I couldn't give you a real concrete answer on that. I haven't heard a lot of pullback on it right now. I know it's got a pretty big change on some of our districts. I know, like in the 16th, it's changed pretty dramatically, and the 8th and the 9th and the 15th, especially that affect you, the Tri-Cities over there. So, I mean, like myself, I'll be representing new people and losing some that have been part of the 16th for quite a while. My guess is it's probably going to move through.
We're talking with Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th Legislative District here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Senator, there's some interesting bills coming out of your chamber. One that was proposed, and I don't remember the second senator, but Senator Solomon put this one to the pre-file list, and that is that if you falsely show a COVID vaccination card, you show a COVID vaccination card that's not yours, that is now going to be a misdemeanor if this bill passes. And if you knowingly engage in creating or selling a fake COVID passport, that's going to be a Class C felony. I thought we were going for rehabilitation these days with the majority party, not looking to be punitive, but it just seems like anything COVID, it's bring out the gallows.
You know, that is very, very true when you say that. I just think about this with the one committee that I'm on where we are looking at letting felons out early and doing many things. And here we're going, COVID has really changed the complexity and the mindset of what we're doing here over in Olympia. I mean, it's similar to, you know, we're not going to be able to even have meetings in person like we thought we would before. Of course, you know, that we know that the new variant, the Omicron, is a lot more contagious, but it's really changed how we do business and how we legislate, which has really been difficult, I think, for us to keep the people locked out of our legislative process.
Senator Greg Neft, again, talk a little bit about some of those disadvantages. What is the major drawback that you see to doing this via remote control, if you will?
Well, I can tell you right now that I've always been a people person, Greg. And when I was a county commissioner, I mean, it's great to sit in a meeting and you hope that people will come in and when we have some really hot topics. And you get to learn or read the people in the audience, especially when there's testimony there. It was difficult for me last year as a new senator to do everything remote because you're only looking at three faces on the screen when there's testimony on a bill, and there's you can't get the same emotional feeling from what the people are talking about, and so it seems to me that bills were pushed through easily because of that. You know, if you're sitting in a committee meeting and then you get up and you walk out, you'll have people come up to you and talk to you and explain things a little bit closer. But there was no public involvement. And it's going to happen again, no public involvement this time. So it's difficult to legislate like that and by leaving the people's voice out.
Let me ask you this, because this happens to me. I'm sure Rob would admit to it if you asked him. But, you know, on Zoom meetings and remote control and WebEx and whatever you want, there's a tendency sometimes to kind of zone out. I mean, it's happened to me. You know, is there that risk of that? I mean, nobody wants to admit to it, but it happens. Do you think that sort of thing would really go down the state legislature if you do it all on WebEx?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I see it when I'm watching my computer screen. I chose to go over to Olympia last year, so my only focus was going to be when I'm sitting there that I'm in my office only doing that, and there's no outside influences with me. But, you know, you can see it when you watch the screen. You'll see maybe a member get up and walk away and come back later. Yeah. And, you know, it just... It's tough because you're not as engaged, in my opinion, as if you were sitting in front of people. And also, if you're on the floor and you've got people in the gallery, you're going to sit there, you're going to look up, and you're going to watch those people looking down at you. It's, you know, it's no different than if you're an athlete in a playing basketball. Who wants to play a basketball game with nobody in the stands?
That's what you call pickup.
You know, that zoning out is exactly what happened to poor Jeffrey Toobin. But Senator Dozier, we know there's supposed to be a reevaluation of this a couple weeks into session. Do you really think a couple weeks in the majority party is going to relent and allow the people back to the people's houses? Or do you think they're going to find some excuse to continue this?
I mean, my gut feeling tells me that... When we started this about 6 weeks ago, when we got the first indication of what we were going to be doing on the floor for the Senate, I can't talk about the House, but I know the Senate, we were supposed to have all 49 senators on the floor and at least 12 people on each side of the gallery, and we're supposed to be able to have three people come into our offices for face-to-face meetings. And that's continued to erode over the course of the last 6 weeks to the point to where we're at right now. Rob, we're at basically like last year. I guess we won't have a chain link fence, at least around the campus, which will be nice. But everything is basically like it was last year for the Senate. There'll be 8 Democrat senators on the floor. There'll be 7 Republican senators on the floor. And we will not be able to have anybody in our offices. All committee meetings will be remote. We do have to be tested right now 3 times a week, whether you're vaxxed or not vaxxed. And then when we're on the floor, we get tested daily.
Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th Legislative District, appreciate your time this afternoon, sir. Have a great weekend, and good luck getting over there to Olympia for Monday. Be safe.
Okay, thanks a lot, Greg, or Rob, and thanks, Greg, for this opportunity to talk to you guys. We'll talk to you again during session.
Absolutely, sir, we will. Senator Perry Dozier from the 16th Legislative District.